It's on Blog Talk Radio. It's 8 o'clock in the evening, 8 to 9 p.m. You can hear the music playing in the background. What's up, everybody? That's the end of the theme song. Welcome to the Blog Talk Radio Show, Blog Talk Radio Network, the K Thompson Live Show. I'm what's known as also known and all around known as the Sun sometimes, and also Citizen Payne. We're going to be talking about a lot of stuff today, a lot of stuff going on in the news, the craziness all over the world, in politics, out of politics, in your house, outside your house, everywhere. What's happening in things? Trump versus Ball. That's what I put on the description of this show. Trump versus LeVar Ball, two loudmouths talking crazy. Yeah, and both of them be talking, and after a while they both give you a headache. But this is the one time that I want to hear LeVar Ball speak because he just annoys all those people, and he's annoying to listen to. But if he's going to be annoying to Donald Trump, I'm down with the brother. It's really stupid that his son decided to shoplift over there in China in another country. You know, you figure since he's been doing all that talking, he might advise his kids what to do when they get out there in the world. But, hey, that happens. And teenagers do what teenagers do sometimes, right? So I pretty much like this little back and forth going between LeVar Ball and President Rump. Also, you know, he pretty much only has issues with black people. And here's the thing. I was just watching Chris Matthews a little bit earlier where he had one black guest, one white female guest on. And it's interesting how the people – you know, they talk about, you know, here's a president going opposite a citizen going back and forth. And Chris and the woman talked about, well, he's allowed, the other guy's a loud mouth, and I hope that the guy doesn't respond. And I'm wondering, well, why wouldn't the guy respond? Why should LeVar Ball not respond to the criminal Donald Trump? I don't understand it, why they think that. And then as they went, she went to describe the situation, she left out the race component. So when Chris went to the black guest, Jonathan, he brought it up. It's a race component. Donald Trump has a problem with black people, clearly. And he has a problem with black men, clearly. And part of his thing is, and that started with Obama, probably way before Obama came into office, because we know that how vindictive and evil he was in his comments about the Central Park Five, who were innocent of any crime, but he still to this day thinks they're guilty. So we know that we have a racist president with a racist presidency, as well as everybody, as far as I'm concerned, works in his administration if you listen to them talk and you listen to what they're willing to support. Also, if you look on the description of this show, I put Roy Moore versus the Republicans because it's him, the Republican Party is attacking itself, imploding in on itself. We got a guy, you know, Alabama, in my estimation, is the state that keeps on giving. And one of the infamous, I should say, memories that sticks in my mind about Alabama is when Birmingham, Alabama, was called Bombingham, when they bombed that church with those four little girls back in the early 60s during the Civil Rights era. So that's one of my impressions about Alabama, as well as all of the South, really a lot of the Deep South down there. But that's certainly my impression about Alabama. And that's only been changed a little bit by people I've met from Alabama who have been some of the nicest people around. So I think collectively the state needs to do something to change up their reputation because now they're all sitting around willing to support a guy who's alleged to have dated, been interested in teenagers when he was well into his adulthood. And they seem to think that that's okay. That's an acceptable thing to do, just as long as the liberal Democrat doesn't get in there. We'll take a guy who's alleged to have been a pedophile. So I don't know, Alabama. I don't know. These are two instances in my mind that kind of have come to identify your state. You know, the individuals I've met from Alabama, like I said, some of the nicest people around. But these two instances during the course of my lifetime, that's the lasting impression about Alabama for me. And lastly, I put men versus women and Alabama versus the world. I just talked about Alabama and also all of this stuff where a lot of sexual harassment cases are coming out and people are women are feeling free to come forward with their experiences And it's just kind of surprising the activities that some individuals engage in, some men engage in doing some of the things that Charlie Rose was has been accused of doing, as well as Harvey Weinstein has been accused of doing. And people talk about that that's a power trip and things like that. You know, the whole, all of that stuff, it, to me, is kind of foreign, you know, but I don't know what goes on with some of these individuals. And obviously, it's come to a point where it's individuals that you wouldn't expect, right? We wouldn't expect Bill Cosby. Nobody expect Bill Cosby to engage in the type of behavior that he engaged in. Nobody expected that to come to light about Charlie Rose. Harvey Weinstein, I didn't know too much about him, and he didn't have much of a public persona other than he was a movie producer. But people in the industry would refer to him as kind of a street guy. I've heard him referred to in that manner. And I don't know, you know, I'm black, so when they say a street guy, I'm like, what does that mean? A guy who's used to, you know, a little bit direct action, has been in the streets and knows what's up in the streets as well as what's up with kind of more highbrow things. So I guess this is kind of what they meant about him being a street guy, I guess. So these are the subject matters that we have going on with us today. I'm going to open up the line here. We have our co-host, Mr. Wayne Gilman, legendary newsman. How you doing today, Wayne?
All right. Good evening, Eric, Kay, Byron. How's everyone?
Everybody's doing good. I'm going to open up for Byron as well. My mom is feeling a little bit under the weather today, so she's not around.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Also our resident historian, Byron Saunders. How you doing today, Byron?
Well, it's another blessed day in paradise. I'm actually in the ATL, better known as Atlanta, with my family.
All right.
Celebrating Thanksgiving. So, you know, I'm down here to enjoy and, of course, be on the best show in all of Blog Talk Radio, the Kay Thompson Live Show. So there it is.
So what do you guys think about this, you know, think about some of this stuff that's going on recently? I mean, you know, we got your man Trumpy. You know, he wants to be thanked. He wants to be praised. He's like, you know, I got your kid out of jail. What's going on? You know, please thank me, adore me. What do you guys think about? He has problems. To me, I'm talking about the president now. In my estimation, at least anyway.
Byron,
go ahead, man.
It's the most sophomoric piece of new stupidity that I've seen in all my life. I mean, first of all, there's been a lot of back and forth about who thanked whom. I distinctly remember those three guys holding a news conference upon their arrival back here in the States, and they all but profusely thanked Donald Trump for their release. All right, so let's get that out the way. Because I even watching, you know, non-fake news like CNN and MSNBC, they're saying the president wasn't thanked. That's a lot of nonsense. They thanked him. It's the father, LeVar Ball, who has a problem with and he has a right to his opinion, like all of us, you know? And he's come up with some legitimate points, but I think, you know, it's past this news cycle. I mean, they're developing a brand with this. I don't know what his objective is, but Go ahead.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Wayne. I was just going to say his objective is to take everybody's attention off of, you know, Jeff Sessions, his son-in-law.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Right.
Also, too, you know, remember, he sent out like a preemptive tweet talking about, you think they'll thank me. You know, I got him out. This is before they even
exactly.
got back and had a chance to thank him.
Right.
So, you know, he's laying the groundwork. I mean, you know, this president, he seems to benefit and revel in keeping his little small little base of racists and neo-Nazis and all those other people who want to support him. But also he needs to present a black man as his foil. Barack Obama initially, NFL players. LeVar Ball, even some black women, the sister from ESPN who criticized him. So,
right.
You know, for LeVar Ball, LeVar Ball is a businessman. You know, it works for him if he's in a beef with the president, because the president keeps keeping him in the headlines, right?
Exactly.
The president keeps him in the headlines, and he's able to expand his brand. You're going to hear about ballers when his other son comes in the NBA and all that. So, I mean, it works for him. So I just wanted to throw that out real quick. Because what you said,
my
you know,
take on
that.
It, yeah, my take on it, Eric, is that with respect to LeVar's father, I stand with him, and he when he said, and quoting him, well, if, why didn't he bring him home on the plane? There was plenty of room on his Air Force One when he left China. He could have brought them home on the plane. And yes, he it's always about Trump. And so Trump, you know, I mean, for what it's worth, he got his thank you. He needs to get off of it, you know, and come to a realization is that he's got some serious issues to deal with other than basketball players on a trip to China. He's got to deal with unemployment. He's got to deal with a tax reform. He's got to deal with racism, guns in this country. He's got to deal with some serious issues that are far and above high priority, other than a thank you for bringing home some youth who made wrong choices. Granted, wrong choices. But the fact is, that's not the priority of the President of the United States of America.
Amen.
Yeah, amen to that. You would think he's got better things to think about, right, and to talk about.
Well,
you know,
right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, come on, dude. You know, you're sitting there arguing with people, but this distracts those media types from talking about the real issues. That's why they get distracted. They talk about, you know, and some of them, you know, they don't mind talking about the brother too. You know, there's a little bit of inherent racism in some of these media coverage. You know,
oh,
as
yeah.
subtle as it is, or as subconsciously as it appears to come out, but you know, it helps them too. I mean, you know, LeVar Ball is an easy target, right? He's a trash-talking black dude, and he's an easy target for a lot of Trumpians, people who support this guy. That's what they want. I mean, they want a racist divide in America, and that's what he's working for. If you look at the situation where the country is now as compared to where it was with Barack Obama, you know, we had a president in Obama who was trying to heal the nation. He understood he was the first African-American president. He was bending over backwards to reach out to Republicans who had already decided that they were going to make sure he had no victories and no progress. They had already decided that day one, when they all went to that luncheon and didn't go to the inauguration, that was their plan. And now, you know, hey, I hope his boy wins. He's supporting Roy Moore. He's supporting an alleged child pedophile. Hey, go out and support him. That's great. Go on and support this guy. And I hope he wins. And the way they're acting, and this guy came out the other day, you know, one of the campaign people talking about the world is watching what Alabama does. Yeah, the world is watching y'all again, just like they watched y'all in the 60s. What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
And they're the gift that keeps giving.
That was the most confusing move, not to cut you off, Eric. I mean, it just amazed me that he would come out even after his daughter spoke out critically against this man maintaining his birth and race and all that business. And, you know, it just says a lot about who Donald Trump is. You know, I mean, and every day, I mean, there's not one news cycle in which some controversy, including what you've mentioned at the top of the show about the whole sexual harassment issue, that he hasn't used to try to capitalize it in favor of what he's doing and trying to shore up his ranks with his support, his political support out there, you know? Anything to knock us. No sooner did he get through with LeVar Ball, he came out with a decision against the Haitians. And then all of a sudden, you know, there was the issue with the sexual harassment and the parade of Republicans and Democrats now involved. He had something to say about the elder statesman of the black congressional caucus, you know, to ridicule him. I'm not saying that we're exempt from this, but at the same time, it just seems everything with him is predicated on race.
Absolutely.
And
it's systematic.
And the other thing is to really recognize that the woman he married, the woman that Judge Moore married, he dated her at 15 years old, married her 17 years later, and so it was 2 years before he had the audacity to engage in a relationship with a 14-year-older Okay? So there's the facts, ladies and gentlemen. He is a pedophile. He is morally bankrupt, should never even be a judge. I kicked him off the, his judgeship twice in Alabama because of his not following and adhering the rules of the Constitution as law. So what makes him think that he's supposed to be in the United States Senate to represent the great state of Alabama? Not even qualified. Worse than the president of the United States. And he's a sex offender. So they're both offensive to the Constitution and democracy in the United States of America.
Well, you know,
I tell you, this impeachment proceeding is not taking, it's not moving fast enough. I don't know. I know it's not even quite a year yet, but it, you know, all of us feel a pall, I think, as we walk, you know, across these United States, all of us of moral judgment, good thinking, moral background. I mean, anyone with any kind of social mores about them, seeing what goes on and knowing that this man represents not only us, but is the most powerful man on the planet. You know, it's sad. It's sick.
Well, you know, Wayne, I'd rather them be methodical and take their time and make sure they got everything correct to get this guy.
I hear you.
And if it results in him going to jail, I want to see him in jail.
Oh, yeah.
See him in jail. Yeah.
And his son-in-law. Talk about these three boys in China.
Right. I want to see all of them get the maximum punishment. I want to see him in jail. And let me just say something about, you know, I was thinking earlier about, you know, the South. You know, the South has been thumbing its nose at the federal government and has always had this kind of, you're not going to tell us what to do since the Civil War, right? I mean, they've been replanted. You know, a lot of them just, that's what Charlottesville was about, right? Those guys marching and talking about Jews will not replace us and all this crazy stuff. It's always been about for these hundreds of years that they don't want to be, they lost the war because the rest of the country said, hey, it might not be a good idea for you to put human beings in chains and act like they're cattle, right?
Mm-hmm.
And ever since then, they've been wanting to do whatever they want to do. Because you think about it, this guy's down there, don't like black people, talking about, you know, we gave too many rights away in the 60s, dating young girls. He's doing stuff like the slave masters used to do, right? Slave masters, they're, to me, in my estimation, what they said went down. On their plantation, they were God. So whatever kind of sick, diabolical debauchery that they wanted to perform, whether it be with their wife or usually was with the slaves, they would do. So is it any wonder all these years later, these people think that that's okay, that type of behavior. Anytime you've got a rumor, there's a rumor, there's a reputation about you can't go to the mall because you're out there trying to pick up the young girls at the mall, and that's a reputation about you. You know, there's some... there's some basis there somewhere. There's some heat somewhere, right? So,
it's,
I mean,
scary.
How does that even become a rumor about you that he likes going at the mall and mess with you? I mean, how does someone miss that? Well, you're driving by the mall a couple of times too many, or you're picking up your niece and nephew one time. Well, how does that become a rumor where they have to tell you don't come? They ban you from the mall.
I mean. And the thing is the defiance. It's as if he's oblivious to all that is going on, and he just takes it personally that liberals, the whole Democratic liberal movement is against him, you know, and he's bought into the nonsense that Trump, you know, Trump has now given him a wide berth to continue his nonsense, and it's just sad.
Well, he seems like a crazy slave master-ish type of dude to me, Roy Moore, I'm talking about. I mean, you know, the guy was, you know, they got that footage of him pulling out his gun, his pistol at a rally and all that. It's like, what is that? I mean, the whole, we want our guns. We want to be able to do what we want to do. We don't want the federal government to tell us nothing, let us live, because we just want to do any old wild stuff we want to do. And they don't want to be judged or whatever. And to a certain degree, you should be allowed to live free. But come on, when your freedom is inhibiting on somebody else's freedom, that's a problem. It should be real simple. But
it doesn't seem to be simple to these people. And it's clear to me, you know, these years on my years on the planet Earth, that some of these people, they're just always going to be that way. They're always going to hate people of color.
Yeah, it's so deeply ingrained, Eric. You're right. I mean, it's sad that it's, you know, they justify it as part of their culture, you know, and they find other people of like mind, no matter, I mean, when I see people of color standing up behind this guy, like in a show of support, it's appalling. It really is appalling, given our history and what we've gone through in that part of the country, you know, over the last 400 years, you know? It's like they're oblivious to our own history. I mean, they're not willing to, you know, take into consideration the struggles that we've gone through. They would just go along with whatever it is that they feel that fits their agenda, and that's it. And I think the country's going through an enema cleansing right now, for lack of a better description. I mean, I was wounded when I found out about Charlie Rose. I mean, I don't know. I just never suspected someone of his caliber, you know, being what they've accused him of being. And I felt so badly for those two young ladies, Gail King and Nora O'Donnell, you know, for having to be put in a position of having to explain, you know, what their colleague, you know, of 5 years, I mean, what this whole thing meant and what it means going forward, you know? It's been a circus, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know about them being in the middle and all that. I suppose they feel some kind of way because their colleague turned out to be this doing this wild stuff. I mean, you know, the one said he came over and he put on the scene from the secretary. They said he used to like to come and walk around naked, getting out of the shower. I don't know what that, you know.
I mean, the thing is, you two have been in the arts long enough, and I've known some. I'm not even going to call names tonight, you know, but I've seen some strange stuff in my lifetime. But, you know, the thing is, he built a brand, you know. I mean, it's just mystifying that he was even investigating people, you know, in the confines of his brand, you know, as being a world leading journalist. And he was so guilty of it. I mean, and one, when they questioned him after the fact, after he had been outed, it was almost like no big deal, you know, it's par for the course. And, I don't know. It reached a new height yesterday when I found out, or the day before, whenever it became public, and it's really taken up a lot of space in the news. I'm not saying that it shouldn't, because regardless of who it is, you know, even when the whole Bill Cosby thing was going on, you know, I still am in disbelief that someone I held with a lot of respect and reverence was capable of doing these things. But, you know, it's not about sex, it's about power. And it's just unfortunate that, you know, people in that position to influence the lives and make decisions about the careers of other people, you know, just basically don't give a rat's behind about what happens. You either succumb to my advances, or, you know, and I've been there. You know, I mean, I'm not looking to pour salt in an open. I'm past that now. But I know what it feels like, and I'm certain there are other men. I'm not just talking about the Terry Crews situation. There are other men, women who have been just as guilty as men, who were in a position or are in a position of power and just, you know, basically trying to even the score, you know. It's wrong on both sides.
I don't know about even the score, but I'm sure that that's been the case reverse in terms of some circumstances. But because the way our society is, obviously the majority of those type of situations are probably going to be men harassing women, just because of our society, that women have not achieved parity in the workplace and things like that. Men still hold all of these key issues. I mean, it's just, you know, what's appropriate, what's not. I mean, someone like Cosby, you know, like you said, Charlie Rose, it hurts because you held him in high esteem. Same thing with Cosby for a lot of us, right? His stature in the black community has been more than the parts that he's played. I mean, he's an entertainer. It's not like he's John Conyers, and Conyers, you know, is a leader. I think there's another. I think there are other factors at play in terms of them bringing John Conyers' issue to the forefront. You know, the guy who broke the story.
I agree.
Trump is a conspiracy guy, Trump supporter. You know, one of those right wing conservative type people. So, you know, I'm inclined to look at anything that comes from that side with the side eye, not to really believe.
Yeah.
And also playing devil's advocate, you know. People that support these people are going to support them regardless, and they're going to circle the wagon.
Exactly.
That's an understandable human emotion. It's a human reaction. It's even understandable how Trump reacts, you know. I mean, he's from in this area of the country, hard-knuckled business guy, clearly kind of an underhanded business guy. And probably his thing is that if you come at me, I'm going to come back at you 10 times harder. You know, we've seen that line in movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's line of thinking, you can understand. I mean, I understand it. I don't agree with it, but I understand that he probably is like, no, you're going to say something about me, I'm going to say stuff about you 10 times worse and shut you up. It's like that play of the dozens, right? Whoever scores the hardest with the dozens is going to shut the other dude up, right?
Right.
But, I mean, to do it to the extent that these guys have done it, and just with you combine all the other, the totality of everything, is really, you know, is really much. I mean, we got this guy in office, he's committed treason. He's only looking out for himself. And I'm sure that he's seen the way that other people have done. I mean, there's been other elected officials, people in powerful positions. So that's what they do. I mean, that's why we have the Citizens United decision, right? Because they made it okay for very wealthy people to have even more influence on our electoral system.
Exactly.
And so we got the Citizens United. You know, you had Mitt Romney. You know, Mitt Romney is selling the same thing, but it's just in a different package. And we all remember that speech he was given talking about corporations are people, my friend. You know, remember that great quote. You know, the corporations are made up of people, Mitt. Yeah, that's true, but, you know, not exactly. So the whole tit-for-tat thing that they like to do and try to equate everybody's crime or I was going to say everybody's sin equally, and it's not equal, you know? I mean, what someone like Al Franken, you know, Trump jumped on Al Franken, who quickly apologized, quickly said, I want an ethics probe into myself and this and that, and Trump jumps on this guy but wakes a week and a half to talk about Roy Moore, and here he is yesterday coming out supportive of him, so...
Right.
You know,
right.
This is what they do. That side does that. They try to equate, make everything have the same equivalency, and it doesn't. It doesn't.
Yeah.
You know, and
it's sad. I mean, the thing is, you're absolutely right. Two wrongs don't make it right. I had a chance to, you know, 10 years ago when all this crap was going on with Franken, allegedly, you know, I was working with him, and I saw some things. I might have mentioned this a while back in a couple of shows ago that, you know, I sort of questioned, but I also felt, well, you know, this is his background. I mean, he wants to, you know, shift gears and leave the comedic element or background that he had been in for so many years to get into something serious. And as long as his head was in the right direction, I figured I could be of support. I certainly don't endorse what he's done. I mean, what's come out publicly. But again, at least he fell on the sword and said, hey, investigate me, you know? And even when the Democrats, you know, Elizabeth Warren, she was on television the other night analyzing that thing between Franken and Moore. And, you know, I have to agree with her. I think Franken is worthy of an investigation, but I don't think he should resign.
Yeah. I don't think so either, as long as no other instances come out where, you know, because they said that when he was on at some state fair, he grabbed a woman's butt while he was in office, at least running. So, you know,
yeah.
The entertainment industry, there's always lines being crossed in the entertainment industry.
Right.
The lines are blurred pretty much. And, you know, that's evidenced by the Weinsteins and the allegations against Brett Ratner and Russell Simmons. And, you know, the nature of the entertainment industry, it's kind of touchy-feely, and depending on who you are, it's kind of cool, it's not cool. And I found it's just better to stay away from that period. You know, we had a film, I had a film production company with some friends of mine. We called Drop Squad Pictures. We produced a movie with the help of executive produced by Spike Lee, Drop Squad, starring Ving Rhames, Eric LaSalle, and a whole bunch of us. But during the course of the time that we were working up to produce this film, we did other projects. And we really made an effort to make sure that none of the women on the sets felt, you know, any kind of, you know, some of the guys want to, you know, you want to talk to a girl or whatever, you're attracted, whatever, that's fine. But if it's not coming back, you know, if it's not being received, then it's time to back up off it, you know, and we kind of made sure that vibe, there was no pressure, there was no, you know, that kind of vibe that can surface in a male-dominated environment where there are only a few women. And as we know, obviously in the news industry until recently and the entertainment industry until recently, you know, those have been, and politics until recently, those have been male-dominated fields, as with a lot of other private businesses in the United States, you know, things that don't have high-profile stuff. So obviously, whenever you have people in there, you know, you're going to have all of these different wide-ranging reactions. It's like when Trump, to me, talked about, you know, it's locker room talk. And all the guys, every guy you heard of said, that's not locker room talk. And professional athletes said, we don't talk about that in locker rooms. But, yeah, some guys do talk about that in locker rooms. Back in the day, they would. And you also have those guys who brag about their conquests about women, right? I'm sure we've all been around those type of individuals or talk about what happened last night or whatever. And some guys respond to that. Some guys don't engage in that. But to suggest that it didn't happen and that wasn't something that happened, clearly it does, because we wouldn't be here now having this discussion about sexual harassment if, you know, some of that wasn't
it didn't go on
talk.
Right.
So, you know, I think that when we try to draw the distinction between the two sides, you know, Trump was right. It is, to a certain degree, it is locker room talk. And it would have been good if some of the Democrats and people on the other side that opposed him said, yeah, he has a point there, but it doesn't have to be to this extent, right?
Exactly.
That's what I got to say, as opposed to acting like, oh, no, we never do that. And then, oh, lo and behold, you know, you got Bill Clinton. I mean, we got all these examples of that happening. So, you know, sometimes in trying to be self-righteous and too righteous, you know, you end up putting yourself in a bad position, right?
Yeah, and,
so what do you think,
and for some reason – I don't know if that's going to slow us down in the political seasons that are coming up now. I mean, of course, we're going to have an outcome within the next couple of weeks from the Roy Moore situation down there in Alabama. But I'm looking forward to 2018 and 2020. You know, if we're still grappling over stuff like this, and I'm not saying it's unimportant, but to me, there are larger issues at play, and you know, I don't know who does. I don't know right now if there's anyone other than those who have not been singled out in an investigation that passed the smell test. You know, it seems like everybody's got, and I guess that's what compounds my feelings about the whole Charlie Rose thing. I don't mean to dwell on that, but, you know, I don't know. I guess we all have icons, you know?
Yeah.
And when you see an icon fall, And in denial, I'm just saying, is this the same guy I held with praise and admiration just a moment ago? And I wanted to get back to that, not to be so discursive, but every once in a while, the NAACP gives me an opportunity to play with their microphone every once in a while. And yesterday we did a show, and there was a thing with Russell Simmons, this whole Terry Crews, Russell Simmons back and forth. Is there money involving Russell Simmons with regard to that, his support for this you know, the guy who allegedly victimized Cruz? I don't quite understand what was going on with that.
Yeah, I just caught up to that issue myself recently. I had to go back and find some articles and read what exactly Terry was talking about. But, the response
that Russell gave to him, like give him a pass. I don't know what that's about.
Yeah, you know, and I'm trying to figure that out too.
You know,
you might be closer to that than I am in terms of contact with people.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think one of the things that we really have to look at is the culture. You know, because we can cherry pick and name the ones who guilty, alleged, whatever. But come now, come on, guys, we're guys. Let's go back to the 50s and the 60s. Let's go back to the Playboy, Hugh Hefner, the whole culture of men who have abused and used women immorally, morally, whichever way you want to look at it, because we put that out there. Hustler magazine. We can go back to the culture of it as itself and look at the men who are being exposed now. They're from that culture, okay?
Exactly.
And then
you've got
an R&B singer who molested Malia, the young singer who's no longer with us. But you know, it's like here we still engage in a culture with the rap industry who calls out women with names of, you know, undeniably they're abusing women by calling them in names you and I as gentlemen would not use even in a barbershop, because at some point we know we're going to have these conversations that might be locker room conversations. But come on now, we're talking about an entire culture which was permeated by going to the mansion in Chicago, where the parties, you open up any one of those doors, and it wasn't Bill Cosby who was the poster child, okay? There were others involved in there who did far worse, as it's come out. And I even read the other day that one of the porn stars, what is his name, the white male porn star, even he's been charged with sexual harassment. Now, when you get sexual harassment from a porn star, I'm kind of trying to figure that one out, because you're already resulting in a more immoral act to begin with, and now you're going to have to be dealing with sexual harassment charges on a set where you're sitting there with your clothes off and engaging in lurid sexual.
Yeah.
Maybe it was someone on that set who wasn't. Maybe it was like the makeup person who wasn't one of the actresses. But that's in that industry, and I don't mean to joke about that, but that seems kind of ironic. But listen, you talk about not just going back. Let's talk about the whole world. I mean, women. I mean, the world over. I mean, there's misogyny throughout the whole world. I mean, in the United States and developing parts of the world are advanced in terms of how they view women, in terms of women's rights, because. You know, if you go to certain parts of the Middle East, Africa, and some of these other countries, the Asia, you know,
Saudi Arabia today,
they're still picking
like
brides. They can't walk; their faces are covered.
Right. I mean,
you know,
I saw some online about one of those countries. They were having a marathon where women were first able to compete and run in the marathon. Just to run.
Exactly.
Wow.
I mean, the treatment of women is not the best the world over. And so, like you said, Byron, we grow up in a culture that where I mean, even Hollywood, the Hollywood culture is the white dude is the hero. The woman is always, he gets the girl, right? The hero saves the day, gets the girl.
Right.
That's told from a very male-dominated perspective. A white male dominant perspective, telling the dude's story all the time, and the women only come in the story as an appendage to the guy. That's why a lot of these shows now are being successful from a woman's perspective. That's why I've seen so many of those stories over and over again. White dude does this, white dude does that. I just want to see a film, a project from a different perspective. I'll watch something with a white female lead, because it's just a different perspective about life. You know, you get to see it from somebody else's eyes. And and from our literature to our movies, certain behavior, you know, I mean, is drummed into our head. You know, we live in a country where we made stuff up. This country made stuff up. They made up their history, right? Half the history, some of it's based on reality, but the other half is made up. It's made up that they came over here with peace and love and worked with the Native Americans, and we were just trying to be peaceful, and the Native savages were trying to kill us. That's a lie. It's a lie.
Yeah.
And then they make these movies. They write these movies and these books, this imperialism, that present themselves in a way where we feel good about ourselves. We can bastardize the Bible,
Eric,
and make these people slaves,
right,
because it says in the Bible, we'll bastardize that. Well, I mean, I always tell people,
right,
if they change the way Jesus looked, everything else is up for grabs.
Yeah.
Right. And it's interesting because now here I am in Atlanta, and of course, they honor and glorify Gone with the Wind, but let's face it. Mm-hmm. The Southern Gothic writers themselves, Tennessee Williams, even the women writers, tell you that the Southern typical male is a perverted individual. That's not just on our end.
Right,
come on
right,
now. You
right.
Look at, and then you talk about Miss Anne, who was the prototypical, a woman who was put on a pedestal, but who also lived a false life herself, a false narrative.
Yep.
So there you
yep.
have the Southern gentry, okay, the so-called gentry of the South living in a perverted world where Tennessee Williams wrote about it. I mean, come on. you just name a Southern Gothic writer and a Southern Gothic production or movie, and you will see the type of male that's being shown to you right now in Judge Roy Moore, in Tom Donald Trump, and people, males, Weinstein. Come on now. They didn't just become this. They
exactly.
created the culture.
Yeah. I mean, that's what they – go ahead, Wayne.
I'm just curious what it's going to take to change. I know it's not going to happen overnight. You know.
Well, I think
something...
you're right when you said that the country right now is going through an enema. And we are
yeah.
really – the exposing of what's really dark and hidden for hundreds of years is really just coming out. Like every day you have something being revealed where if you didn't believe in Revelation, you better pay attention because there's some serious things going on that are exposing each and every one of those chapters in Revelations – identifying the oncoming of the apocalypse or, you know, whatever, the second coming. We are in some moments right now that all of it's being revealed. Every last
mm-hmm.
single page of that book is being revealed. Now, that's not me. That book was written over 2,000 years ago.
Exactly.
So some of that
yeah.
somewhere has to be true. Okay.
It's still the bestseller. You know, I don't know. Right.
That's right. And you've got Southern evangelicals, like you said, if they would change the color of Jesus, now they're trying to change the idea of it was okay for Joseph as an elder male to be involved with right. I mean, come on. Where do these people get off?
Yeah, I mean.
Okay.
Yeah.
I said, you don't just put Christ back into Christmas. They got to put Christ back into Christians, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, I know Trump is responsible for that slogan to a certain extent of promoting it about putting Christ back into
yeah.
Christmas. And he's the
yeah,
biggest.
We'll put Christ back into Christmas.
Yeah, you know, it's scary,
how's
man.
The father,
that's all I can say.
How is the father-in-law of Damien going to put any Christian stuff in anything? He's the father-in-law of Damien, and I'm
right,
kind of
yeah.
joking, but you know, your son, one of their family's buildings is 666 Madison Avenue. And
thank you.
Something really kind of poignant
wow.
and ironic
right.
about
I
now.
Never thought of it that
you
way.
Know.
You're right.
Thank you.
And you and
okay.
you never rarely
and,
hear
and,
this guy
and,
speak.
That's right.
You rarely hear him speak.
That's
what
right.
do they tell you about
you
certain,
barely...
certain demonic spirits?
Mm.
You don't really hear their voice. I mean, I've heard something. I mean, they'll say something like that. That you know, I don't know, but it seems to be that there's a certain amount of, if not evil, ill will are circulating around these people that are running the country now.
Without question.
You know. And it seems as though they thrive on this. Trump thrives on this kind of turmoil and stirring things up. Even before
mm-hmm.
he got elected, stirring it up. Wanting to reignite the birther issue about Barack Obama. But still, here's a guy that hasn't revealed his taxes. I mean, he's done everything
opposite of what has been the norm for presidential candidates, and still these people voted for him. He's getting ready to raise their taxes. He's getting ready to raise their taxes, and they still are going to vote for him.
I hope the Democrats stand firm on that one, because some of the stuff I've read is scary, you know?
And
it benefits only one segment of society in spite of what he may be promoting, you know. I see more and more whites going on to the welfare rolls. I see the whole healthcare system going into more chaos. Everything that he's and the thing is, history has shown the trickle-down theory does not work. You know,
only works for one segment
of society.
That's right.
One of the things I wanted to bring up with respect to the issue with the sexual morality of the Congress and the senators, I watched that interview of the woman who is accusing Al Franken.
And
I watched that interview with a particular curious eye, because at the point at which, now, Eric, you and I are professional actors. We've been in the business long enough to know when we've seen something completely and totally scripted, okay? She even cried on cue. He gave me the I thought, you know what? You need to stop it, because at the point at which when you actually understand how this woman was put up by Trump's lawyer to out the Franken, and then see the picture of her on a magazine cover, okay, of FHM with her unbuckling her bra, with her exposing her breast in just bikini panties and some stockings on. Now, that's the same woman.
That's artistic license, because she was a model once before she got into journalism.
That's okay, but when you come on and you give your interview in such a manner where, yes, I forgive him, you know,
I just want
the apology, and he wrote the apology, and I accept his apology, and then continue, you know, to she went on the one with the Whoopi Goldberg show. The View. I saw that piece, and I'm like, wow, she's really a professional. She's really got the whole story written up.
I happen to agree with you, Byron. The thing is, I had mixed feelings about her and wait so long. I mean, and I think that's the thing that really gets to me. And of course, some people say it's shame. If it happens to you on a regular basis, I know when it was happening to me, I didn't waste time going to the authorities. But I was preaching to the choir. I didn't realize. I mean, to a certain extent, I expected what the outcome to be, what it is. And I think corporations, the culture of business, depending upon who you work for, what their ideology and philosophies are, you know, speaks volumes as to what you can get away with and what you can't. But, you know, for her to wait 11 years and knowing that there was a documentation of this picture and other things that he did. That shot with him holding Arianna Huffington's breast. She saved Air America when it was still around. And she was, I'm certain that picture was taken way back then. I know it was long before he became senator. But, you know, I think that's the scary part, because what I'm gathering from you, Byron, you're saying that there may be some out here who are just spreading vicious gossip and innuendo to achieve a certain desired outcome.
That doesn't excuse his actions. I mean, you know, the picture acting like he's grabbing her boobs, that wasn't cool. That wasn't cool.
No.
You know, but entertainment industry. Then because I saw one interview with her. I didn't quite see the one with The View where she said, yeah, it was wrong. I think Al Franken, she said, you know, the whole thing, she thinks he's a good representative. I don't think he should step down. And he apologized, and I accept that. But he shouldn't have done that. And the whole thing with Arianna Huffington, she's laughing in the picture. So, you know, depending on who the individual is, some people play like that, some people don't. That's what I'm saying. There's varying degrees, you know. It's like some people are talking about unwanted sexual advances. Well, when guys try to pick up or talk to a woman or do that, some guys have certain ways that they come on to them. Some, you know, are ungentlemanly and they don't do that. And depending on the individual woman, some of them are like, get the hell out of here. It's nothing to them. Some of them like certain type of talk. Some of them are cool. It depends on who the person is. But there is certain behavior where you start invading people's personal space unwanted, where you start grabbing on people if you guys aren't cool like that. The picture with him and Ariane and Huffington, it seemed like they're cool like that. And I haven't heard anything about her having issues with that. I haven't heard, unless you guys have, I haven't heard her coming out and saying Al groped me or whatever. But with Leanne Tweeden, you know, the Leanne Tweeden picture where she's sleeping and you're doing that, that's not cool. But also I wonder, the person who took the picture obviously thought it was kind of funny, or else they wouldn't have taken the picture, right?
Yeah.
You know, because if you don't agree with that type of behavior, why are you going to stand there and take a picture as opposed to say, come on, man, that's not cool. Stop being an ass, you know?
Right, right.
And secondly.
And that's called collusion, guys.
I want to go secondly. It's like, how does she get the picture? If that person took the picture,
exactly.
And Al is clearly,
he's clearly posing
for the picture. Now, the person, like you said, he gave it to her because she said she had it in her possession. So the person takes the picture, thinks it's funny, and then later on says, here, you know, what was going on, but, you know, how does that happen? How does that work that it gets into her hands and what was said when the dude gave it to her, when whoever took the picture was taking the picture, gave it to her? I didn't agree with what he was doing, but I took the picture because I wanted to show you. Could it have been a dude that liked her that didn't like what I was doing? So you see what Kirk, you know, there's all kinds of things, you know, everything is context, right? Until you know the full story, you don't know, but you do know that Al, the bottom line, I mean, it was definitely that Al was wrong to do that while this woman was asleep when they're coming back from their joint, right? And also, too.
But we feel the same way, I mean, right now, if he were not in the Senate, if he had not made this transformation, you know, if he was still, you know, the bad boy of comedy or what have you, you know, would you feel the same way?
Yeah, it's still messed up.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
At this culture, at this time. But, you know, segueing back to something that we only have a couple more minutes, but Robert Mueller has files for 22 new criminal charges. He's about to drop it, y'all.
God bless
him. He's about to drop the hammer, okay? And I'm looking forward to that. Hopefully, I hope he could do it on Black Friday instead of giving us the bad name for Black Friday. Let him do something really magnanimous on Black Friday or Cyber Monday.
Yeah.
Any one of you work for me.
I think Mueller's methodical. He's going to get him. And a lot of those cats, like they said, a lot of those career government people that have been doing it because regardless of whoever's in office, because they're there to serve the country, really there to serve the country, they don't like that. They don't like the way you know, Trump comes when he first went to the CIA and talked about himself and the crowd size and inauguration and standing in front of that wall where all those stars are for people who gave their life for the United States. And then this guy talks. They don't, you know, there's people that are true and real about serving this country. Not this idiot in office who's doing it for themselves, and they don't like that. And I think that Mueller is one of those type of dudes, or else he wouldn't be respected from everybody. He wouldn't have that respect if he didn't have that integrity.
Yeah,
you know,
and that's why Trump would look mighty stupid trying to drop him at this point, you know, regardless of what goes on with that investigation, you know. They'll be held to pay if he ever made a move to remove him from his position. So it'd be very telling. I think that would truly lead to a revolt in this country if that were to happen, you know.
Who would revolt?
No, I mean, I think there'd be enough conscious Americans, I mean, people who are morally conscious and want this whole thing, investigation to come out, that there'll be such an uproar, like how it was right after the election in 2016. People were in the streets demonstrating. You know, I think if this investigation is not allowed to move forward, because he's always threatened, you know, I could pull the plug on this, that, and the other, but... It's just telling, you know. I just often wonder, you know. He says so many things. You just question whether or not if he's capable of doing that.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Just to protect his family.
What's to keep him from doing that? I mean, if they start going, if they go after Jared, and if they go after Don Jr., what's to keep him from doing that? And
yeah,
also,
I know
too,
that's
yeah,
it.
Everybody was upset, right? Everybody was upset and marched and everything. But half the women's march, half of those white women in that march voted for him.
Yeah,
53%. 53% of white women voted for him. 93% of black women voted for Hillary. So so clearly, somebody.
So what was that about?
It's talking out of both sides of your mouth, right?
Yeah.
Because now, just like the Republicans, they didn't want him in there. None of them wanted him in there. But when he won, they're willing to accept what he's doing. Paul Ryan is talking to Mitch McConnell. They're not talking about what he's saying and whatnot. They're trying to ride it out and get as much as they can get out of it until it really gets too hot for them personally. Then they'll turn on him. They're not doing it for the good of the country.
Oh yeah, yeah, I mean, they're not, you know, in lockstep. I agree. And the thing is, as somebody said yesterday, it can't just be Trump alone. It's got to be Pence with them. They got to have a clean sweep, man. You know, I'm sorry.
Yeah, they all got to go. They all knew about it. They all all of them were meeting with the Russians. And also, I mean, let me talk about another media. Joe and Mika sitting there acting so surprised at Donald Trump. You had him on your show almost every morning.
Because
it was good.
They were best buds.
And he was
He
was friendly with them, right? He was friendly with them for a minute until he flipped on them and went crazy and talked about Joe's woman and whatnot and Mika and all that. They were all cool with him having him on the show because they thought he was a joke. Let's have Donald on.
Right.
Let you on, Donald. But Donald. And then when they now he's messed up. Now he's this and that. Well, I mean, if you didn't want the guy to win, why give him a platform?
Why give him a wide berth to promote himself? Exactly. I agree.
Spread that vile. He's doing nothing but spread vile, man. So you're going to give him a platform to talk about the crazy? No, man. And
well, Scarborough, I don't know. I mean, I guess that was their way of answering the Fox when they hired them. But it is what it is, you know? I mean,
Just like having Megan McConnell. Megan McConnell's on NBC now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Oh, please! And they got rid of that beautiful black woman, Tamara. Go ahead.
Yeah, Tamara.
Tamara Hall.
Right, right.
So
I don't mean to refer to her in terms of her physical beauty, but I mean she was very talented. And like, I don't get it. You know, what is that hour doing?
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. No. No. They were trying to go after that audience and. This is the same woman who was on the air talking about, don't worry, kids, Santa Claus is not black, he's white. Google that clip where she was talking about the political correctness and downloaded it, and it was such a horror thing for Santa Claus to be considered to be black or whatever. Unbelievable. But really, we got to go. This is the last minute of the show. I want to say thanks, everybody, for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show on the Blog Talk Radio Network. Mr. Byron Saunders, our resident historian. Thank you, brother, down there from Atlanta.
Happy Thanksgiving. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Yeah, thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to all.
You're in the historic city. Mr. Wayne Gilman. Thank you, Byron. Thank you, Mr. Wayne Gilman.
Yes, sir.
Legendary news.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And my best to Kay. Hope she feels better.
Absolutely. Have a good holiday, Mr. Wayne Gilman. Good night. I want to say thank you to everyone for listening to the Kay Thompson Live Show on this Wednesday evening. You can listen to us live every Wednesday, 8 to 9 p.m. And the show is also archived, where you can listen to it anytime you want on the Kay Thompson Live Show. My name is Eric Payne, Citizen Payne, the Sun. We'll see you next time. Take care. Let me see if I can get the music up, because I know how you peoples like the music. Good night, everybody. Thank you.